where it began. I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out, touching me.
I'm George Blaha. You're listening to The Strong Side on WLEW Radio. Is rocking the docks and shaking the lakes on the Thumbs Power Station. Cruise 1021, Bad Axe, Michigan.
The turtle has gone, and now the crisp of the fall is upon us. It's the official kickoff to football season in the great state of Michigan. Good evening and welcome to another season on the WLEW Sports Network. You're listening to The Strong Side, your home for the most in-depth discussion and analysis of football on the entire Sunrise Side. I'm Clark Ramsey, your host, and join me for another season as a true professional. He even has a license to prove it. Please welcome Dave Hansen.
Thanks, Clark. Outside of golf season, this is by far the next best season for me, and I can't wait to get started.
For his third season with us, the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, please say hello to Paul P. Adams.
It's great to be back, and like Dave said, by far of all the seasons I cover, fall sports, especially football, bar none, the best season that we have.
And running our coverage tonight is the creator of Thumb Tailgater Sports, Mr. Eddie Fury himself.
Great to be here at the Ramsey Manor. But from now on Sundays, of course, I'll be producing this show. So it's great to be here in person with you guys.
Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is being presented on the WLW Sports Network by Active Physical Therapy and Medical Supply, McCormick Motors of Pigeon, Randy's Hunting Center, 269 Guns, Thumb National Bank and Trust, and Sure Healthcare Network. Better health, better life. Left, right side, or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side on your home for high school football, the WLEW Sports Network. I'd like you to meet Joe.
Hello.
What's your last name? Schmoe. Where did you come from? Off the street. So you're Joe Schmoe off the street, of course. You seem to be getting around a lot better these days, though. Oh, I know. You went to Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, didn't you? Well, it makes sense. Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine can get any type of person back on their feet, whether it's an athlete or Joe Schmoe off the street. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. They're located in downtown Bad Axe with convenient hours just off the street. That's 269-2700. When it comes to your health and wellness, there's one question you need to ask. Are you sure? It's more than just our name. It's our belief. If you believe in top-notch professional care, the choice is simple. You need to be sure. The Sure Healthcare Network is made up of medical professionals to serve your every need. Whether it's Dr. Paul Scadden in Sebring, Dr. Scott Ryder in Caseville, or Drs. Michael Paulson and Ross Ramsey in Elkton, we are Sure. Or how about Sure Family Medical Center and the ReadyCare Clinic in Pigeon? Are you sure? You can ask that to our pediatricians, Drs. Kayla Reddy and Teresa Ginther, family practice physician Lori Hanselman, physician's assistants Mackenzie Paulson and David Seagroves, and nurse practitioners Lois Booms and Hall Hewitt. Professional medical care for you and your family whenever you are in need. It makes it great to be Sure. That's because of services like Sure Family Vision Center's Dr. Matthew Meisner and the Sure Professional Center with General Surgeon Matthew Williams. So when it comes to your health and wellness, ask yourself, are you sure? We are. Sure Healthcare Network. People you trust, caring for people you love. I just wanna dance. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. Clark Ramsey, your host of The Strong Side for season number 3 of our Sunday night programming. Of course, tonight is our preseason 2-hour special on 102.1 Sports Radio, your home for high school football. Dave Hansen, Paul P. Adams, and Eddie Fury here with us tonight from the friendly confines of the Clark Ramsey Manor. We apologize for our tardiness. Those are some early season jitters per usual. But let's get right into it. Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? I haven't seen you in about 9 months.
Well, everyone's gun shy now. Here we go. Quite that long, but it's good to be back here. That's for sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
Still enjoying the summer right now.
And that's the problem with this early summer. I should say this early season of football. It's still summer. I never like having 2 weeks before Labor Day, but that's just my opinion.
I agree 100%, Clark. And I, as you know, we did our tour of football practices, and every coach I talked to wants more time to practice. There's just not enough time in pads and contact, I believe, to get these kids ready. I think these first games should all be pushed back, but this is all in order to get the playoffs ready for Thanksgiving Day weekend. But I think, you know, it's putting everybody really behind.
Especially the heat factor out there. Still, you know, summer heat out there. A lot of these practices are in the mornings now.
Well, no, they're all in the afternoons now.
You mentioned it. The heat is the most dangerous thing. And obviously, we've had a hot summer this year, a dry summer until the last couple weeks. So there hasn't really been the greatest conditions.
The beauty is my golf game is not hindered because I haven't been able to play at all. All right, let's take a look at the 8-man football for those who are keeping score at home. We're going to go through our 8-man football, and then we're going to go west across 142 all the way to the shores of Lake Huron. That's the story for our next 2 hours. Let's take a look first at the North Huron Warriors. New coach this year, Steve McIntosh. A little ripple in the airways as far as North Huron on the offseason, but Steve McIntosh, longtime assistant, is now in the reins of the North Central Thumb League's North Huron Warriors, his first year at the Realm. Last year, in 2015, North Huron went 5-4 with an average score of 31-24. The year before that, they went 2-7, so really, North Huron turned things around last year.
It was more than a little ripple, Clark, and as you guys know, I'm as close to the North Huron situation as anybody. Travis Fisher is a friend of mine, and you know what happened over there is that it shouldn't have happened. Thankfully, Steve McIntosh came in, and it's a familiar face, and he's getting used to the kids. They're getting used to him. But you know, thankfully, he was on Coach Fisher's staff. But what happened over there, that shouldn't have happened. With that said, I think they got a fairly good team coming back. Obviously, tough schedule again. If you look at last year's record, 5-4, basically they let games against Peck and Kingston get away in the fourth quarter. If they can finish out those games, this is a team I think they can duplicate that record. And if they were able to just get one more win, they could have found their way into the playoffs last year.
Definitely think it's a team that is on the verge of making the playoffs. Coach McIntosh, the kids should be very familiar with him. Obviously, he's been a friendly face to them, and hopefully he's ready to step up to the challenge. I think we're all in agreement. We think he is, and it hopefully that will sort of kind of clear up some of the waves and kind of get focused on football, because a lot of these kids, you know, they're going to play hard and they're going to play well for Coach McIntosh.
Last year, 2015, they finished the regular season winning four of their last six games after starting the season out at 1-2, and they scored 48 points or more four times of those nine games. In 2014, the year before, they were shut out in the first three games. They didn't score until week four when they beat Caseville, and they got that momentum rolling in 2015, hopefully rolling into 2016. Their first game is at Weberville. Not what the MHSA website says. It is actually at Weberville.
That's correct.
On Friday, August 26th.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to what the MHSA website
has
for North Huron, because that schedule that is up on the MHSA website is completely wrong. Athletic Director Jim Glidden sent me a corrected schedule, and I couldn't believe how many mistakes there were. So that's on the MHSA right there.
I find it hard to believe that the MHSA would make a mistake.
The Dark Hearts are already at work, and it's only August.
That's just wonderful. Hey, let's take a look at the Caseville Eagles. Jason Pierce, I do believe, is still coaching up there in the Mid-Michigan 8-Man Football Conference, or MM8MFFC for those for short. In 2015, Caseville went 4-5. That is their best season on record, including a three-game win streak. CPS, Akron Fairgrove, and Michigan School of the Deaf, a great season last year for the Caseville Eagles.
4-5. That was that senior class that went through there last year. That was the first class of football that went from freshmen all the way to seniors. That was a big step for them, 4-5, and they were in a lot of those games. Now the next step is Coach Pierce wants this group to be the first Caseville team to ever make the playoffs, and they have record number of players this year, over 20 guys on the roster.
Holy cow.
And that is fantastic. You know, a lot of us worried last year when a great senior class graduated, what would come back? And all of a sudden, there's a lot of interest in Caseville football. So I think that's only going to pay off for them in the long run. And the move to Mid-Michigan 8-Man League was absolutely
a great move for them.
They needed to make that move. I'm glad the NCTL let them, and we didn't have another fiasco like Owen Gage and Akron Fairgrove. There was a good balance there, and I think it's been a good move for everybody involved.
Even during Cheeseburger and Caseville, they had a scrimmage against Dryden, so they're trying to take a little bit of competition despite it being in a scrimmage-wise also.
Well, and to follow up what Paul was saying, they do have some big shoes to fill. I mean, Cole Simmons, the heart and soul of that team last year, no longer going to be with them. You know, we loved watching him play last year. But I did want to highlight some of the positives. Check out this. They got their third straight year of starting a sophomore quarterback, so they're staying young. Is it Joe Ellis that's taken over again? I think he played running back last year. He's going to slide to the quarterback position. Going to be an interesting stat for him, so we'll see if they can continue to play well.
And, of course, Caseville, after going 1-8, well, let's start back in 2013. They went 0-3. In 2014, went 1-8 to last year, 4-5, moving in the right direction right there. The Owen Gage Bulldogs, under the direction of Jim Wenzel for the second year as head coach, also a member of the MM8MFFC. In 2014, they won 8-2. In 2015, they ran the table in the regular season, tallied up 60-plus points four times with a high of 80. We're talking football, not degrees. And then they lost in the first round of the playoffs to Cedarville, 28-48. Owen Gage loses a lot, including three-year starting quarterback Jacob Wright, David Binder, Dylan Fritz, Dan Goog, Devin Lorenz, Do they have enough to make another run this year?
Actually, David Binder is back.
My apologies, David.
Yes, David Binder is back. He is the Thumb Sports Writers Player of the Year for eight-man football. He's a stud. I mean, when you look up the definition of stud, this guy is a stud. He could be on any 11-man team and make an immediate impact. He's big. He's physical. He's obviously going to have to carry a lot more of the load this year. Jake Wright at quarterback, that was an experienced, real experienced player to run that offense that they're going to lose. But with David Binder back, in the schedule that they play, I think they're going to be in the mix. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. But as you saw last year, they played that mid-Michigan eight-man schedule. They didn't go out and challenge themselves in the non-conference, and I think that hurt them against Cedarville. They played toe-to-toe with Cedarville for about 2.5 quarters, and Cedarville just had too much and pulled away, and Owen Gage really wasn't in any tough games last year. So, you know, if it repeats itself again with Owen Gage, I think they're gonna find themselves in the same situation, because eight-man football as a whole in the state has gotten tougher. I mean, Crystal Falls Forest Park, a traditional 11-man powerhouse, has moved down to eight-man football, which is only deepening that pool of talent that's an eight-man throughout the state.
And I think challenging themselves now means more than ever. I mean, last year they had a really good squad, could potentially have made a difference. This year they're not quite as talented as they were last year, and they're definitely, with the loss of Jacob Wright, they're going to lose an aerial attack that was as good and made their running game even better. They're going to lean more on the running game this year. We'll see if the passing game can kind of open it up a little bit.
Jake Wright had the best arm of any quarterback, 11-man or 8-man, that we saw all last year. Yeah. You guys were at that Caseville game, and you saw him throw balls on a rope.
Well, let me tell you about that game. That was our first 8-man game that we actually did broadcast. And I think Kayla, our director of media relations, was the most shocked by anything, because it is an exciting game. It is back and forth. I mean, you break one coverage, and all of a sudden you're wide open, and you're going for 70-plus yards. And we're seeing Jake Wright throw it through the air for 70-plus, not quite 70 yards, but he's just chucking it down there and into the breeze.
There's a lot of misconceptions about eight-man football still from people who haven't seen it, that have only seen the 11-man game. When you guys got into that game, guess what? It was just another football game. There's a few less kids on the field, but
to be specific.
Yeah, but, it's nothing – It's still football, and that's, I think, what people need to understand. It's not a lower level of football. These small schools, this is the only way that they can really stay competitive and have something to chase after.
And back to be on point there, Jake Wright was exciting to watch as a quarterback, because he wasn't your typical ground-and-pound football team that we tend to see around here traditionally. He was kind of a team that broke the mold, and we liked the aerial assault. It brought a different view to the game. And again, you watch your higher levels, your NFL, I mean, they throw the ball 40, 50 times a game now. So it was fun to see a team around here throw the ball successfully and watch defenses suffer, having that ball thrown by them all over the place.
It's even more important in eight-man football. Defense is a key in eight-man football because of the high offense that you have. Another wrinkle, since we're talking about the Mid-Michigan eight-man, eight-player league, CPS is now in that league this year also.
All right, CPS, of course, the mythical state champions in, 2009?
Do have one actual state championship.
That's right, I forgot about that. Hey, let's take a look at the Deckerville Eagles. Speaking of Sanilac County, Bill Brown is still head coach down in North Central Thumb League land of the Eagles. Last year, they went 10-2. The year before, 9-3. In 2013, 5-5. Moving in the right direction are the Eagles. And they did in quite the fashion last year. They scored 43.3 points on average and gave up just 14.2, and a majority of those were in the playoffs. And when they lost to Battle Creek St. Philip 24-52 in the eight-man semifinals of the state championships of the MHSA, they allowed negative yards rushing nearly every regular season game, including three shutouts last year. So Deckerville has a whole lot coming back this year.
Deckerville is absolutely loaded. I mean, they should go undefeated through the regular season, and that's something they need to do. Last year, they lost to Morris in the regular season. They made that up and beat them in the regional finals, but that loss to Morris cost them a home game against Battle Creek St. Philip, and Battle Creek St. Philip did a number on them in the state semifinals. So Deckerville's first objective this year, go undefeated, secure home field advantage, make sure the playoffs run through Deckerville. And I don't think there's any reason to think that that's not going to happen with the talent that they have coming back.
And hopefully if that follows through, we'll get a rematch and see Deckerville, Battle Creek, St. Philip one more time.
I do think we're going to see that. I know in the past, Deckerville has shifted up north, but I think the north is gaining teams, which is going to push our teams down to where they should be. So we won't shouldn't have our teams having to go make some long northern trips, and they should be playing in the south. And I think if Deckerville takes that southern path, I believe that they're going to be in a state championship game, but they're definitely going to have their work cut out for them. There's a couple of teams, Powers North Central, Crystal Falls Forest Park, that are absolutely powerhouses up there. But eight-man football is, I think it's a lot of fun this year, and I think Deckerville is really going to be in the mix right until the end.
Well, let's take you through the entire scoreboard for this week for eight-player division. We have three games on Thursday this week. Owen Gage and Caseville are squaring off in Caseville. That is tomorrow in the Land of Cheeseburgers at 7 p.m. Also on Thursday, Morris is hosting Dryden. Dryden, of course, a part of the NCTL non-conference play against Morris. Or I should say Morris, we do believe, is in part of the
I NCTL. Believe Morris is a full member of the NCTL for football.
We're using our Rosetta Stone to try and decipher what is going on in the NCTL, and that's what we can tell so far right now. And also Mayville in the NCTL taking on Lawrence. Good old Larry is traveling to Mayville on Thursday at 7 p.m. On Friday action, Deckerville is traveling to Fife Lake Forest area. They're playing in an area of a forest. Deckerville on Friday at 7 p.m. North Huron is traveling to Weberville on Friday at 7 p.m. Peck against Marion, the librarian. And Battle Creek St. Philip against Kingston in Kingston. Checking out that Mexican food in Kingston.
Important to note about Kingston this year, Kingston is officially a Class C school. They're playing in eight-man football, but Kingston cannot make the playoffs this year, no matter what their record is. They were, I think, three, maybe four students above the cut. So in all sports, Kingston is a Class C school this year, so that's important to note.
And, of course, the cutoff for playoffs in eight-player football is 250 students in the high school. If you're above that, you are not eligible for the playoff run. It's time for our first short break on The Strong Side. Left side or right side, you're listening to The Strong Side. This past segment was brought to you by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Life is painful enough, no need to feel it in your back too. That's Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, just west of the light in Bad Axe and now in Sandusky.
When it comes to your body's aches and pains, only one thing truly matters: feeling better. But it comes down to three things to make that happen. Of course, quality care you can trust, timely service, and convenient hours. That's the difference with Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine of Bad Axe. Whether the injury is sports-related or age-related, the licensed professionals at Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine can get you back to a life that the only thing you can complain about is this weather. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. That's 989-269-2700.
You're listening to The Strong Side's preseason special on Sports Radio 102.1, your home for high school football. Clark Ramsey, your host, Dave Hansen, color commentary for his fifth season on the WLW Sports Network. Paul P. Adams, the Huron Daily Tribune sports editor, with us now for his third year on The Strong Side and fourth year since helping us out with the pregame show. And from Thumbtail Gator Sports, it's Eddie Fury, also our producer from the studio side on Sunday nights of The Strong Side. Of course, you can listen to The Strong Side all season long, Sundays at 7 p.m. for 60 minutes of high school football in the Thumb of Michigan, with the exception of Labor Day weekend, as we do not like to labor that Sunday. Let's take a look at the USA Patriots as we're going to take a drive along M142 from the left to the right side of your radio as well as your maps. The USA Patriots are under second year of head coach Tyler Langs in the Greater Thumb Conference West Division. In 2014, they went 1-8, averaging 8 points and 36 points on defense. Last year, they went 5-5, making it to the playoffs, scoring 27.4 points and allowing 26.9. They lost in the first round of the playoffs to Sandusky, 0-35. Of course, the best record and first time in the playoffs since 2010 was last year at that 5-5 mark. They lost Sandusky at the 3-yard line in week number one. Then they rattled off five straight wins before losing their final four games of the season. But it seems like Tyler Langs has that program going in the right direction.
Absolutely. And what he's done is inspired players to join up. You look at 2014, that was they had barely enough players to fill that varsity team. Now they've got 20 plus on the varsity, 20 plus on the JV, and that's really a lot to do with Coach Langs and the way he's really, I think, rejuvenated that community, because they hit a low point in 2014, and quite honestly, we didn't expect anything out of USA last year. I thought, to me, that was the best story we had going all summer, or all fall long, was watching what USA did, and it's too bad that they stumbled there at the end, but I'm glad that they were still able to make the playoffs, even though Sandusky kind of did a number on them in the playoffs. But it was important for those players, especially the ones coming back, to at least get that feeling what the playoffs is all about. And I think when you look at what's coming back, a lot of players coming back off on this team, an offensive line, a quarterback, the backfield is back. And I think this team is really poised, to improve on that 5-5 mark.
Well, Coach Langs comes from a pretty good gene pool. If you guys know that or not. But he's son of Kevin Langs, coach at Climax Scott for, I think he said, 18 years, Clark. 13 league titles in that time, so he knows what it takes to win. And the biggest thing is he trends that line of, he's hard-nosed coach, that he works these kids very, very hard, but he gets to them on the inside. Like, they get along really, really well. He's a really good people person, and he finds a way to get everything out of every single one of those kids. And I think that's what put them back on the map last year, and they're definitely going to be in the discussion for who's going to win the GT West, which we'll get into later.
And to build on that, Dave, Coach Langs, Tyler Langs, not only was on those teams, but he was the quarterback on a state championship team. So he really he learned under his dad, who was a great coach, and then was able to have that experience of being a state championship player himself. So I think he just brings a lot to the table and has really turned the program around in a lot quicker time than anybody thought.
And Tyler's brother, of course, is just named head coach of Indiana Wesleyan University. They are in the process of starting their football program up, so he will be the head coach in 2017. He's currently an assistant defensive coordinator at, I believe, Wheaton College right now at the moment for this season. USA, of course, has 11 seniors on a 20-man roster, and some strong senior leadership this year. They made sure 100% attendance of all their off-season trainings and conditioning. And players to watch, where do you start? Now, there's a change in the backfield.
You're about to nail it right there, Clark. The biggest change, I think, is going to be Tanner Foley making the switch to running back. He obviously ran the ball very well last year in the quarterback position. So we know he's very capable. He knows how to read the line. He knows what gaps to be hitting. So the question really is, who is Ryan Kane, and can he handle the quarterback load and run the offense? He's a senior. Well, he certainly should be able to.
Let me tell you what. You don't take Tanner Foley from the quarterback position unless you have a lot of faith in Ryan Kane. So we don't know much about him because we haven't really heard his name last year. Didn't make much of an impact. But there's no way that Coach Langs would take an experienced guy like Tanner Foley, shift him over, if he didn't have total confidence in Ryan Kane.
And I think you're right. I think he does. But no one's going to fill the shoes for what Aaron Sines and Cole Finkbeiner did last year. I mean, it didn't matter what the play call was. They could have looked at a lot of defenses and says, we're running behind Finkbeiner left side with Sines, and sometimes it didn't make a difference. And those guys were big-time keys to that offense. Those are big shoes to fill. We'll see if they can do that too.
Well, gentlemen, I just want to point out, I have my favorite player for this season. You do realize who this. I love my special teams, right?
Yes.
We've got Mackenzie Trischler, 5'4", 120-pound female kicker for USA. Coach Tyler Langs told one of the papers, I said, he's so excited that he has the opportunity to go for one for once, not to go for the two-point conversion. You can bring out that field goal unit when you're down by two, win it by a point, and talk about a great, great point to bring on a female. She plays soccer. She doesn't play volleyball, so it's perfect. Bring her in for football.
It's got a necessary roughness feel to it.
It sounds awesome. It just tells you the lengths Tyler Langs is willing to go and the kids he's reaching to get on this team to have every weapon possible that USA can provide for
them. Just to take this point, this is in the MHSAA records. Out of Marine City, a soccer player named Olivia Viney was the all-time scorer for Marine City, and it was because of her they won a state title that year with these special teams, extra points, and field goals also.
Well, you take a look at USA's schedule this year. They start at home this Friday against Upley. You'll hear that game on Sports Radio 102.1 and WLWSports.com as our week one coverage will take us to the friendly confines of USA on the west side of Huron County. On Thursday, September 1st, they are at Marlette, and then they are home against Sandusky on the 9th of September, and that rounds out their non-divisional play. On the 16th of September, they break out in the Western play against Cass City at home. They are at Bad Axe on the 23rd. September 30th, home against Reese. October 7th, at Lakers, and then at Vassar, and then at Harbor Beach. Now, those are some big historic names in football those last 3 weeks. What's USA going to do when it comes down to the pike?
USA is a big historic name in football, very true. Yeah. They have two state championships to their name in 98 and 04. This schedule, and this is going to be a reoccurring theme throughout our show. Everybody's playing a tough schedule this year, especially those teams in the West. The West is wide open, as Eddie would like to say, the wild, wild West. It is. It is wide open. It's really difficult to pick a winner. Obviously, I think injuries are going to be a major factor. But USA, they have their work cut out for them. Starts in week one. A lot of us have tabbed Ubley as that favorite in the Greater Thumb East. And, hey, you know, let's see, line it up, see where you stand right away in week one.
You tipping your hand there on the East already?
Oh, boy.
But no, I totally agree with you. I see four wins on that schedule, easy. And then the rest of them, they're going to be nail biters, every single one of them. And every USA fan is going to be on their seats, on the edge of their seats, trying to decide if they can find two more wins in this schedule. And none of those two are going to come easy for them to get to that six-win mark.
It is important to note that they're holding on a two-game winning streak over Reese, and that hasn't happened since 04-05. So it's been a long time since they were able to right that ship against the Rockets, and that's the Sugar Bowl. And I'm not sure if you guys have covered a Sugar Bowl.
We have not, no.
The Sugar Bowl is a really special game to cover. It is one of the biggest rivalries in the Thumb. When it's going really good, it's really something special because it's not just a name. I mean, they actually play for a trophy, and there's a lot of things that go into it. So I'm glad that USA has been able to turn that ship around and get a couple wins over Reese. But I agree with Dave. I see, you know, four wins and then, you know, a bunch of nail biters. And I can't wait to see what happens on Friday because I think that's really going to tell us a lot. That game against Ubley.
You will learn a lot about that Ubley
We're going to learn a lot about USA. We're going to learn a lot about Ubley in one game. And we did last year. They played just an absolute classic. I think it was 28-26.
You got it.
And just, you know, traded blows. And I think, you know, you got two teams that really mirror each other. If you just put them both in the same color uniforms, it'd probably be really hard to tell both teams apart.
It'd just be different last names. One would be end in a ski, and one would end with some sort of four-syllable word. Hey, USA and Ubley squared off last year, and the final score was USA 28, Ubley 26. It was tied at halftime, 14-14. It was tied at the end of the third quarter, 20-20. And USA actually converted with a two-point conversion with 28 seconds left with Tanner Foley on the three-yard keeper. Gave USA the two-point edge over Ubley last year, and that was in Ubley. This year, we head to USA on Friday, and it should be very interesting. USA had roughly 10 more minutes of time possession versus Ubley in that game, and the USA rushed for 250 yards, did not complete a single pass, whereas Ubley had 214 yards rushing and 48 yards through the air. So, should be an interesting matchup. I'm pretty excited about this opening game. It might be one of the best games of the first half of the season.
Well, I know for us, that's where I always pick a featured game. That's where Seth Stapleton is going. That's our featured game. There's no better game on Friday night in our area than Ubley at USA.
You could potentially, I'm not tipping my hand here, you potentially could see the best team in the East against the best team in the West right away in game one. Again, we have no idea who the best team in the West is, but if USA comes out on top in that game, look out. It certainly is a hot streak for them to get going. I mean, that's what it takes. You don't want to lose the first game.
And if you're gentlemen and ladies and sports fans at home, if you're paying attention, when they're talking about tipping their hand, I guess this is a good point to bring up that Dave Hansen, in fact, was our 2015 WLW Sports Network Media Roundtable back-to-back champion of the roundtable, and it was only a one-point victory, I do believe, last year.
I don't think I got my first win to like week five, Clark, but I'm a second-half kind of player, so.
Wow. Well, at one point, I was winning.
By a lot,
I was shutting everyone else out. The only way I can win, folks, is if they're both wrong. So take it as you will.
You mentioned special teams. Do you think it could come down to that tomorrow?
It certainly could. There's no question about it because, you know, both teams play good defense. You know, Coach Lang's Coach Kaufman, they're going to be tough on defense. That might be all they practice right up until game time.
And he was stopped a lot in the two-point conversions, you said. So this is a key factor here.
And Ubley doesn't have a kicking game.
No.
Have they ever? And that's nothing against Upley, but
no,
I think
they're going for two.
That goes against every Hank Williams Jr. tradition.
I've been covering Upley since 2000, and I don't ever remember seeing them with a kicker.
Well, the kicker is we've had beautiful weather right now. It's 75 degrees on Sports Radio 102.1. 75 degrees. We saw 80 degrees about 2 minutes ago, actually about 20 minutes ago. Now we had some rain go through the region earlier today. The storms did not amount to exactly what we were expecting, but for once, I think we're thankful for a little sunshine. Up to about a week ago, it was rain, please come our way, and now we've had enough of it, at least for a little bit. Those sugar beets are soaking up that sugar, and hopefully it's going to be a great harvest coming our way. It's time for a weather forecast being brought to you by Curtis Chrysler in Cass City. Meteorologist Steve Adamson is stopping by with his forecast. Steve, what you got?
Good evening. A cold front pushes into the area tonight, bringing the potential for some showers and thunderstorms. The front will linger around the area tomorrow, keeping a chance of a few more scattered showers during the daytime. But then we'll see clearing skies tomorrow evening as the front moves off to the east, and dry and pleasant weather should return for tomorrow night and Friday. Tonight's forecast highlights some scattered showers and thunderstorms around, otherwise mostly cloudy. Low temperatures in the upper 60s. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, diminishing to 5 miles per hour. Chance of showers or thunderstorms is 60%. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies. A few showers or thunder showers scattered about. High temperatures near 80. Southwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of showers and thunderstorms is 50%. Thursday night, turning mostly clear. Lows in the upper 50s. Winds becoming west about 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain drops to near 0%. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 75. For Saturday, mixed sun and clouds, highs in the upper 70s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Steve Adamson.
Thank you, Steve. It's now time for a short break. When we return,
we'll be
taking a look at the
event
Elkton
is going
Pigeon
on
Bay
now
Lakers.
At Curtis Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in downtown Cass City. Stop in to Curtis Chrysler and discover the all-new 2017 Chrysler Pacifica. Curtis Chrysler has 5 all-new Pacificas in stock, with more coming daily. It's finally here, and the friendly staff at Curtis Chrysler want to show you the next thing for Chrysler. The all-new 2017 Chrysler Pacifica.
Hi, I'm Dan Curtis. Summer is here, and so is the best lease deal on the always capable 2016 Jeep Cherokee. The deal is hot, with 2016 Jeep Cherokee Latitudes leasing for under $250 per month for returning lessees. So stop on in to Curtis Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in downtown Cass City, visit us on the web at curtischrysler.com, or call toll-free 1-888-ANY-DODGE.
I'd like you to meet Joe.
Hello.
What's your last name? Schmoll. Where did he come from? Off the street. Sir Joe Schmoll. Off the street, of course. You seem to be getting around a lot better these days, though. Oh, I know. You went to active physical therapy and sports medicine, didn't you? Well, it makes sense. Active physical therapy and sports medicine can get any type of person back on their feet, whether it's an athlete or Joe Schmo off the street. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. They're located in downtown Bad Axe with convenient hours just off the street. That's 269-2700.
Your home for high school football all season long is the WLEW Sports Network. Clark Ramsey broadcasting live on the Strong Side's preseason special right here on Sports Radio 102.1 live and worldwide at WLEWSports.com. Dave Hansen in color commentary per usual, Paul P. Adams and Eddie Fury from Thumb Tailgater Sports, as we now take a look at the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. Last year, they went 4-5, coming off an 11-1 season. Adam Grybauskas now entering into his seventh year as head coach with a 32-26 record to boot. And they began the season last year winning 3-4, finished the regular season going 1-4. And those last five games, their only win was versus Reese, 48-6. Gentlemen, what's the look for this year?
You know, when Seth Stapleton did the story on this, I thought his lead was so good. He said it was, what was their weakness is now their strength. Last year, this was a young team, and it showed it. They got out of the gates really well, 3-1, and then stumbled injuries and youth hurt them a little bit. But now they have a ton of players coming back. They have a third-year absolute stud quarterback, Brandon Wisner. When I saw some of the pictures of him in practice, I thought he looked a little bit bigger. So I expect him to be a little bit more physical. I think he's going to be fast, definitely a playmaker. I think it really the whole team starts with Brandon Wisner. He is an absolute stud, and I think he's going to be able to take his game to the next level. I think this is a sleeper team.
It begins and ends with Brandon Wisner, but there are two very important factors that are going to help take the load off of him. Keegan Valentine, Hunter Seeley, they both kind of made their own names last year on offense. Even Keegan Valentine on defense, I remember calling him pretty much every other play. It seemed like he was in every tackle. So he is a big part of their heart and soul, their offense, whether it be running the ball or making every tackle he possibly can. So those are two other big names you will hear a lot when you're covering Lakers.
What I like about Seeley and Valentine in that backfield is when you have two threats like that, they can break the play at any time. And then you have Wisner, another threat. You really have to be on your toes because any one of these guys can take it and break it. And I think their backfield is going to be very, very dangerous.
And two different styles of running. You have Hunter Seeley, who's very slippery, and Keegan Valentine can pretty much just plow you over. And that combination is going to make sure for some great things behind Wisner at quarterback, who's also a threat himself. He can scramble, and they can do a lot of various different things. Key losses, they only lost five players to graduation in total. They have eight returning starters on offense and defense, more likely the same eight players on both sides of the ball. That's what you love about the thumb football. Their first game is this Friday against KPAC, August 26th, and I do believe that is in Pigeon. The first game we will be broadcasting for the Lakers will be in week number five as Lakers travel to Cass City. And if you take a look at this schedule here, they're starting home against KPAC. Then they are at Sandusky on Thursday, September 1st. On September 9th, home against Marlette. And then they have three straight away games, the 16th, 23rd, and 30th, at Reese, at Cass City, at Vassar. And then they finish the regular season with three at home on the 7th, 14th, and 21st of October. USA at home, Bad Axe at home, and then St. Charles to round out the regular season.
Well, Lakers is traditionally taking care of KPAC pretty well. I know that's in Eddie's territory over there in the BWAC, so maybe Eddie can tell us a little bit about KPAC.
Well, they got a lot coming back. However, Lakers had the upper hand on them in the last three, 4 years now. They've been playing always the first game of the season here. They are in the BWAC. They're the smallest school. They're a Class C size school. They were 2-7 last year. Lakers, of course, defeated them last year. But KPAC is hungry for a win, so I'd look out for them. They got a lot of juniors and seniors from last year, just like the Lakers do, though. Same deal.
You know, the wild card in the schedule is week two. Sandusky was a great team last year, the best team in the conference, but they lost everything off that team. And quite frankly, I don't know what they have coming back. So that's a real wild card game. Marlette, I think they're stuck in that 3-4 win window. So I think the Lakers could get out to a 2-1 or even 3-0 start before they get into the meat of that Greater Thumb West schedule. And as we just talked about with USA, it's a meat grinder of a schedule. There's really hardly any easy weeks when you look at the Greater Thumb West. And then St. Charles is traditionally a pretty tough team, but I think, you know, Lakers, I think, can definitely make that improvement from 4-5 and find a way to get at least two more wins and get back into the playoffs.
You're going to hear us use the term playoff team a lot, because a lot of these teams, especially the teams in the West, could beat each other up where there's three or four teams that have six wins. And I look at the schedule, I see no reason why Elkton, Pigeon, Bayport does not have six wins. There's four or five of them on there that I would give to them right now, and all they got to do is win a couple of them, and I think that big one starts right away at Cass City. That one could be a game that go either way. One that I'm looking forward to, I know looking at our schedule, is a game we'll be at, Clark. I think it's going to be a dandy of a game.
Oh, every time Cass City and Lakers have played for the last 2 years, I think 3 points have separated them in the last 2 years, so it's been a great game for them. The one thing that could derail Lakers is the same thing that can derail any team, but Lakers has no depth at all. They don't even have 20 kids on the varsity roster, so they're an injury or two. You know, Valentine got dinged up last year. He started off really well on defense, and then, you know, he got dinged up, and I think that hurt his season. And maybe you can really even look at when they were 3-1 and when they started to go the other way. It was when Valentine got hurt, and that defense started letting some of those yards that Valentine was plugging up.
You know, these are kids. You know, it's very hard to predict. You know, like I said, we can give you a really good idea after week three.
you know, what team's going to be really good. That's a Paul Adams for sure. That's his line.
I prefer week number 9.
Well, and then obviously we'll know a lot more then. But so we are taking stabs in the dark, but we make these predictions. It's based off a healthy team. What can this team healthy bring to the table? And I think a healthy Lakers team, they have an established coach. I think they have a game plan that could get them 6 or 7 wins and get them into the playoffs. But again, we can't predict injuries, so I'm not even going to go down that road. But I think they got 4 or 5 easy. And if they can get one of them close ones like Cass City or maybe even a USA, I think they certainly are playoff bound.
You mentioned established coach, and I didn't realize Adam Grabowskis was in his 7th year. And you talk about coming in, changing the culture, and really turning the program into his image. I think Coach Grabowskis has really done that really well. You know, when you think about the Lakers, you think hard-nosed football. I guess it's always been like that, but it just seems like it's been turned up just a little notch since Coach Grabowskis has been there.
If you take a look, when he started in 2010 and actually 2011 as well, they both went 3-6 both years. In 2012, they started to turn the tide, went 4-5. 2013 made the playoffs and went 7-3. 2014, of course, that historic season for them, going 11-1. Their first district championship since, I believe, 2002 was that time in 2014. And then last year, 4-5. They had a pretty young team last year, and we'll see what it does. I mean, you look down this roster, it's senior. Yeah. And even these juniors have seen action. I swear Brandon Wischlager's been on this team for about 17 years.
I think he has. He's a 8th-year senior, I think, or whatever class he's in now. Yeah, he's, again, but a familiar face, a kid with a lot of experience. That's very important. But I think it's important to note, you just mentioned that 2014 season when they won all those games. They lost every single stud player off that team. And then you throw I believe Wisner was the starting quarterback as a sophomore. So you have a brand-new quarterback. He's a sophomore, a total young team, and they found a way to win 4 games. I don't think anybody really expected that. So that goes to show you that the game plan is there. Give him a couple athletes and get them to believe in him. He can win 4 or 5 games.
And look at that. Look at that win over Cass City. That was a team that played for a district championship. You got to look at that. That was your completely healthy Lakers team. They were 3-1 at that time, but injuries kind of took their toll. So you got to wonder, you know, if injuries wouldn't have played a factor last year, I think the Lakers could have won 6 games, maybe even 7 games, and found their way back into the playoffs. I mean, they were 3-1 with a quality win over Cass City. And then just things went south, really due to injuries more than anything else.
With a couple teams, you know, dropping to 8 player again, do you think Lakers can get in with 5 wins just like USA did last year?
Well, it's hard to say. Harbor Beach would have actually made it with 5 wins last year. So you want to get that 6th win. You don't want to leave it into anybody else's hands. So you get those 6 wins and take care of business. But I look at it this way. The conference is so tough that I think playoff points are going to be easier to come by, and a five-win Greater Thumb West team could definitely get in, maybe even 2 of them.
I want to do some little word association, fellas, here with you. If you take a look back at the Lakers-Cass City game last year, where Lakers won 14-13 over Cass City, here's the leading stats for rushing. Brennan Wisner, 20 carries, 70 yards. Hunter Seeley, 13 carries, 70 yards. Keegan Valentine, 5 carries, 41 yards. Passing, Wisner, 9 for 13 for 115. Receiving, Keegan Valentine, 4 for 4 for 80 yards. Wischlager, 1 for 3 for 11. And Hunter Seeley, 2 for 3 for 11. Leading tacklers, Keegan Valentine, Bailey Krzyzewski, 8 tackles each. Hunter Seeley and Brandon Wischlager, 5 tackles and 1 interception each. Something's in common there, and every single name I just mentioned is back this year.
You say, does any of those names sound familiar to anyone? Because they all trigger a bell. So it's amazing that actually people aren't talking about Lakers a little more. I know we're scared of the injuries. We're scared of the lack of depth. But if healthy, there's, again, another team that has no reason why they can't say, hey, we're the best team in the West, and we're going to prove it in a few weeks.
100% right, Dave. You know, when I started looking, I'm like, oh, I know Clark's going to ask me who he wants to pick for the West, and I really don't want to pick the West. But I'm like, why not Lakers? Why not Lakers? This team has a
able to pull it away when they played at Saginaw Valley last year. So maybe some momentum coming in from last year. I know they doubled down on their mindset, and they figured out really what their program is with their mantra, win now. It seems to make sense. Adam Grabowskis has things rolling in the right direction.
Speaking of Lakers in Cass City, which that game is week number 5 on the WW Sports Network, let's take a look at those Cass City Redhawks. Once I can flip through our 96-page booklet here for tonight, Scott Cuthrell is the coach for the Cass City Redhawks, his sixth year, but really 14th altogether at Cass City. In 2013, they went 5-4. 2014, 7-4, making the playoffs. And last year, 2015, they went 8-3 and losing in the district final against Sandusky 0-7. But Cass City, second straight year in the playoffs, entering in this year. And last year, they started the season winning 4 of its first 5 games. Only loss was to Lakers, 13-14. But then they beat Bad Axe 54-6, lost to Vassar 21-56, and they won out their last 3 regular season games, and they held 9 opponents to 14 points or less last season. What's this year going to look like, fellas?
This is a tough year. We just learned recently that there's no JV program, and for our school with 288 students, Cass City, it's unheard of. When I stopped at practice, Cass City was actually my first practice I stopped at, and at that time, Coach Cuthrell thought that the JV season was in jeopardy, and obviously that was proven to be true. It's not going to hurt them this year, per se, but it's going to hurt Cass City down the road. Just ask Bad Axe, who's had to cancel JV seasons. You don't feel that impact immediately, but those kids, those younger kids, they need that time down at the junior level.